Well, as you read the Bible, one of the things you will notice is that Jesus is sometimes referred to as a gift. And today, being Christmas, it's very likely that all of you here have at least opened one or will open one gift today, being Christmas. I hope you all at least got one gift to open today. But there are gifts, and then there is the gift. You know what I mean? Perhaps when you were younger, you maybe got a few presents, but there was this one gift that just made you say, yes, this is what I really was hoping for. This is what I was longing for. Well, the Bible says that God distributes gifts. James tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes from the Father. And not only does God give gifts, but he gives the gift. The gift with a capital G, and you may be catching on to what I'm saying. The gift I'm talking about is Jesus, the greatest gift of all. Today I'd like to use that word gift, the letters of the word gift, to help us to focus on Jesus, who is, again, the greatest gift of all. Well, the first letter in gift is the letter G, and G will stand for grace. You know, when you think about Christmas Day and what it's all about, how the eternal Son of God would enter humanity and would take on our sin, not only be born, but he would also die and then rise again. How can we not think of that word grace? The Apostle John tells us this in John 1:14 when he talks about how Jesus came into the world. Though he is the eternal God, the Word, he tells us this in John 1:14. Says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John tells us that Jesus came full of grace. It's important to first off define grace. It's a word that we may hear a lot, especially in church, but it's important to know what grace means. Most of you have probably learned it as unmerited favor or getting what we don't deserve. Webster also says that unmerited favor, unmerited love. But he also says this. He says it is divine influence upon our lives that produces a change, that produces a purity, if you will, in our lives. And I thought about that definition. What a great definition, because we cannot forget that grace is really divine influence upon us. That grace is all about God to us, about God pouring out his favor, his mercy, his love upon us. It is initiated by God. There's nothing we can do to provoke his grace toward us. It's free, and he gives it to us. And so we celebrate that awesome grace, getting something that we don't deserve. And it's important to remember what God's grace is, because in our day, especially when we get gifts, we may tend to think that we deserve a gift, just even if it's just a little bit, don't we? I mean, think about your birthday. I mean, who here among us doesn't think that you deserve a gift on your birthday, right? I mean, hey, we were born, you know, we ought to get a gift, right? I mean, we struggled in that womb, didn't we? Tell that to your mother. That's all I got to say. She had an intense struggle. But really, when you think about it, what did we do to be born? You can't even remember the day, can you? See, that's how much you know about how much you struggled on the day of your birth. Really nothing. We were dependent upon others, weren't we? The mercy of others and ultimately the mercy of God to be brought forth into this world. It was something we certainly had no part in. We didn't work for it. We were born. Now, please don't go home and say, did you hear what Pastor said, honey? He said, you don't deserve any more birthday gifts. You hear what he said? He said, yeah, you don't need to worry about birthday gifts anymore. No, don't do that. Remember, if we're going to imitate God, God has given us gifts, right? And the ultimate gift in Jesus. So if we're going to imitate him, we too should give gifts to those who don't deserve it. There's much we could say about grace, but I just want to touch on one more passage, a very familiar passage that speaks of grace, and this is out of Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Very familiar to most of you, I'm sure. Do we have that? Joe, we don't have it. Okay, that's okay. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We see that Jesus is not only a gift to us, but the Apostle Paul says that even our faith is a gift. That faith is a gift. That ability to believe in God ultimately comes from grace. Why is that so important to know? Because if it was in us, if it was rooted in our sin nature, then we could boast, couldn't we? I could say, hey, the reason I believe and you don't is because I'm just a little bit wiser than you. My heart's just not as wicked and corrupt as you. That's why I believe. But Paul says, no, even our faith, we have to give glory to God. We have to say, God, praise you and thank you for your grace and this gift of faith that we have. Well, the second letter, I, will stand for indescribable. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9:15. No scripture today, right? None? Okay. Just that's okay. He says this, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And what's neat about that verse is in that context, Paul is talking about those who are giving material things. Paul was oh so grateful when he looked out and he saw a bunch of Christians who were helping other Christians who were in need. And he said, that is awesome. What a generous spirit you guys have. And then what Paul does is he ties giving in with grace. And it's like he says this, hey, you guys get it. You understand grace. You know that God has given you the gift of his son, Jesus. And once you've got Jesus in your life and you see someone in need, how can you not turn around and help them? The Apostle John says this is what Christian love is really all about. They got it. They knew what grace was. And so Paul says ultimately that grace is from God. And that is an indescribable gift when we think about Jesus. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever been in a situation where you have received a gift and you're like, wow? Maybe it happened this morning. You're like, no way. I don't deserve this gift. This is just too much. This is over the top. I know we've experienced that in our lives where out of nowhere, just boom, a gift comes. And Helen and I just have to say, this is just too much, God. But what's neat is that we ought to thank people for the gift, but ultimately we know where the gift comes from, right? Ultimately, it leads to praise and glory to God, and that's what Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 9. These people are ultimately praising God for the gift that you have given. Paul says, what an awesome gift that you're given. The next letter, F, will stand for forever. Now, I know that this time of year, especially in the past month or so, some of you may have seen some commercials about diamonds. And what do diamonds, what's their big slogan? Diamonds are forever. Hate to break this to you, but they're lying, okay? It's not true. Diamonds are costly, and they're, especially some of you guys who maybe bought a diamond ring, you know the in the wallet what it costs. Some of you ladies may be wearing a very costly diamond ring. And though it is precious, the diamonds of this world will not last forever. And not to depress you, but every gift that we got today for Christmas is not going to last forever either. Think about all the gifts that you've gotten over the years, and they're no longer in your possession. They're in the landfill somewhere, or they've been burnt up by an incinerator. I can remember back to my younger days. I was about in fourth, fifth grade, and I received this awesome gift, the gift that I said, yes. It was a racetrack, but not just any racetrack, mind you. It was a Thundershift racetrack. Anybody have one of those? I think it was called Thundershift. I don't know. But it had two loops. Or two tracks, I should say, and a big oval loop, and it had this shifter. And what you do is you pull the shifter down when the car came through, and it would boost up the car, and you'd race against your buddy or your sister. I had sisters, I'd race against them. I can remember it was only a couple days after I had gotten this gift, and it was set up in my room. And I walked across my room to do something, and I accidentally kicked one of the shifters with my blue suede boots on. I love those boots. They were great boots. They were really hip back in the day. But I kicked it, and it snapped off one of the shifters. And all the super glue in the world couldn't put that shifter back on there. I mean, I tried. I would glue it on. It would stay. But then I'd pull the shifter, and it'd snap off again. Needless to say, I raced against myself a lot that year. But you know what? Eventually, where that racetrack ended up? Out in the garbage, and now it's in the Montville dump somewhere, amongst that big dump. If you've never been to Montville, you've got to check out the dump. It's huge. But I say all that not to, again, depress you, but to help you rejoice in the one gift that will last forever. And what I'm talking about is salvation. It is eternal life in Jesus Christ. That gift will never perish. That gift will never fade away or pass away because it is preserved by God himself. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." A beautiful passage here where Peter says, you know what, even your faith is being shielded by the power of God, so that he's going to keep you until the day of Christ. So that when it's all over, when it's all said and done, you know where you're going. You're going to glory. And Peter had such an assurance of salvation. Think about it. Peter, the one who denied that he knew Christ, the one who abandoned Christ, he was oh so certain that Christ would never, ever abandon him. Peter knew what Paul knew, that nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How did they know that? Because Jesus himself said this, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. I will never drive away." Jesus will never say to those who are his, "Depart from me, I never knew you, away to the lake of fire." He will never say that because his people belong to him. And as he says in John 10, "No one can snatch you out of my hand. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand." What a great promise to know that when you're in Christ, it's a forever thing. It's eternal life. And that means eternal. The final letter is T. And T will stand for take. Because the gift doesn't do you any good if you don't take it. Much like Christmas morning, if you've gotten some gifts and you never open them up and embrace them and receive them into your life, the gift doesn't do a whole lot of good to you, does it? Same thing with salvation. Same thing with faith in Christ. It is a personal thing that you must receive. The Apostle John says this, "To all those who received him, to all those who believed in his name, he gave the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God." What a beautiful thing. And certainly we cannot receive the gift, we cannot believe apart from grace. But yet God uses the gospel message, which is the cross of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the ascension of Christ, how he is now king. He uses that message to bring about repentance and faith in a person's life. And so that is why I stand here today, to share that message. You know, it's not about how eloquent I can bring forth a message or not how eloquent I can't. See, I can even do how not how eloquent I can't bring forth a message. It's not about how fancy I'm dressed today, whether I'm here in a nice three-piece suit or whether I came over in my pajamas, which I was very tempted to do. How many were tempted to come to church in their jammies today? I mean, you're all comfy, you're snuggy. Let's just walk over to church in my jammies. It's not about that. It's not about preaching being my, quote, job. It's about the message of Jesus Christ. It's about how salvation can be found in Christ and in Christ alone. And so that is why I stand here, to tell you about Jesus Christ, to tell you about the eternal Son of God, who, yes, was born of a virgin, who was placed in that manger, who grew as a boy, who grew up in stature and wisdom with God and with men, who taught the multitudes about the kingdom of God, the one who preached against religious idolatry, against spiritual pride. He stood up against that. He had compassion for those who were homeless and helpless and needy. He demonstrated the heart of God when he came, but ultimately he went to the cross. And there he bore our sin. He was buried. And then he rose again on the third day. And eventually he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he reigns as king. And this Jesus says to you and I, come to me. Believe in me. Trust in me. There's a great story in John 4 about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. And if you've never read it, I encourage you, take your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, take one home today. Read John chapter 4. We see in that account that a Samaritan woman comes to a well because it's the time of day where she would go and draw water. And Jesus says something very interesting to her. He surprises her and asks her for a drink. And she was surprised because he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. And in that day, in that culture, Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. A Jew wouldn't have asked a Samaritan for a drink. Maybe they would have thrown a drink in their face, but they wouldn't have had this communication that was going on that day. And so listen to what Jesus says in John 4:10. Jesus says to this woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Jesus then goes on to show this woman her need of a Savior. He convicts her of sin. And then he opens up himself to her. Let me ask you today, how about you? Do you know this gift of God? That's what Jesus asked the woman. Do you know the gift of God? I ask you, do you know this gift of God? And this gift of God, it's not me, it's not any of your family, it's not any of your friends. It's not some Hollywood star. It's not some sports figure. It's not Buddha, a Muhammad. It's not Dalai Lama. It is Jesus. Jesus is the gift of God given to mankind. And Jesus says to us, as the Son of God who knows everything about us, he knows your DNA code. He's got it down. He knows it. Not only does he know that, but he knows everything about you. He knows all of your sin and my sin. The sin that is open before man and the sin that I try to cover up, he knows it. And yet he says to us this, are you thirsty? Not do you need a drink of water, but is your soul thirsty? Are you lacking something? Is there a spiritual thirst in your life? Do you need a drink of spiritual water? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need spiritual cleansing? Then find it in me. You're not going to find it in facts about me, but you're going to find it in me, is what Jesus says. So he says, receive me, the living water, into your life. And I pray that each of you here today would truly have that living water in your life, the gift of Jesus Christ. There is no greater gift that you can possess than the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know the gift of life? Is he in you? Does he abide in you? Is he real to you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your power and your grace and your humility that you would leave the Father's side and come down to this earth that is dark and filled with sin and filled with so much hopelessness, and you would be the light of the world. You would come and you would offer up yourself so that we who are thirsty might drink from you, that we might never thirst again. Oh God, I pray that each and every heart here today would truly know in their hearts the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would not just know about him, but that they would know him, that they would put him first, that they would live for him, that they would know the cost of their salvation, the heavy price that was paid to be saved. God, I pray that today our focus would be on you, on your gift, and on your great love. And Lord, I pray that you would stir within our hearts a deeper love for each other, a love so deep that the world could see us and say, there's just something different about those people. Lord, help us. Help us to love in that way. For your law is love and your gospel is peace. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.